Sue Bodner is a 31-year-old woman complaining of abdominal pain following a repeat cesarean section 22 hours ago. Her pain's located in the area of her fan and steel incision, and she describes it as nearly 10 out of 10. The location of her pain helps us focus our attention to specific issues and away from others. Upper abdominal pain would suggest upper abdominal problems such as stretching of the liver capsule, internal bleeding, ruptured hollow organ, or gastric ulcerative disease. Lower abdominal pain suggests a problem with the pelvic organs, bowel, and the incision. The severity of the pain tells me that this is not just simple postoperative pain, but more likely has a significant underlying cause. The pain developed gradually over the last 2 hours. A sudden onset of pain is associated with embolic problems and a loss of incisional integrity. This more gradual onset is less specific. Since surgery this morning, she's received intravenous Toradol and hydrocodone orally. Intramuscular or intravenous narcotics such as Dilaudid, Demerol, or morphine provide excellent postoperative pain relief if administered in adequate dosage and adequate frequency. While IV Toradol can be very helpful in reducing pain, it's not really in the same category as systemic narcotics. The oral hydrocodone acetaminophen is good for mild to moderate pain, but probably not very effective for the intense pain immediately following surgery. I would conclude that this patient is under-medicated for pain. The surgery was reported as uneventful with estimated blood loss of about 500 cc's. That's an important historical fact. It's difficult to estimate blood loss accurately, but this loss is certainly not above average, confirming the uncomplicated nature of the surgery. While it's true that even uncomplicated cesarean sections can have later issues such as ongoing bleeding, dehiscence, and infection, these problems are more likely to occur in the presence of a difficult, complicated surgery. Her Foley catheter was removed 8 hours ago, and since then she's voided twice for 200 cc's each time. Once the Foley catheter is removed, the patient needs to be able to empty her own bladder. This process may be inhibited by incisional pain and localized swelling following cesarean section. Postpartum urinary retention is a common problem presenting with abdominal pain and the patient complained of inability to urinate. In this patient, she's experiencing pain in the general area of the bladder, but has a history of successful urination twice earlier in the day, each resulting in apparently normal amounts of urine. When we examined her, we found that her temperature was 97.4, pulse was 104, her blood pressure 110 over 72, and respiratory rate was 18. The absence of a fever suggests a non-infectious cause of her pain. Pulse of 104 in a woman who's in severe pain following cesarean section earlier in the day is likely normal. The normal blood pressure makes internal bleeding as a cause of her pain less likely. The respiratory rate of 18 is also probably normal for someone in her situation. Her abdomen is soft and non-tender in both upper quadrants. The soft upper abdomen rules out such serious complications as ruptured hollow organ or massive internal hemorrhage. Her uterus is somewhat tender, and both lower quadrants are tender with mild rebound tenderness. Following a cesarean section, the uterus can normally be slightly tender, although uterine tenderness can also be a sign of uterine infection. Rebound tenderness is a nonspecific finding indicating inflammation of the peritoneal surface at the target of the rebound pain. Her incision is clean and dry. With wound dehiscence, there's usually a serosanguinous drainage from the wound. With a subcutaneous hematoma, the incision would probably be leaking some blood. Her lower abdomen is tender and difficult to palpate. Based on her clinical presentation, I suspected acute urinary retention and confirmed this with a bedside ultrasound showing a bladder measuring 10 by 12 by 15 centimeters. The nurse reinserted a Foley catheter and drained 1,500 cc's, pausing after 1,000 cc's had been drained. The bedside ultrasound was easier for me to do as the machine was close by and no delay in diagnosis was required. I could have bypassed the bedside ultrasound and simply had the nurse reinsert the Foley catheter. When a lot of urine had come out, that would have confirmed my diagnosis. We paused for a couple minutes after 1,000 cc's had been drained to allow the muscles in the bladder to readjust to the diminished stretching without bladder spasms. Not everyone agrees that this pausing is necessary. After emptying the bladder, the patient felt much relief, and we will leave that Foley catheter in place for another 24 hours to keep the bladder decompressed. Then we'll remove it, and after 6 to 8 hours, we'll have the patient voluntarily void, and then immediately afterward check her residual volume of urine, either by straight catheterization or by bedside ultrasound. If she can twice demonstrate that she can successfully empty her bladder with only minimal residual volume, then she needs no further treatment. But if she continues to show a large residual volume, she'll need the indwelling catheter left in place for a much longer period of time before trying again to go without it. At this point, she might also benefit from some vesicotonic drugs, although they sometimes have the undesired side effect of making it more difficult to relax the urethral sphincter. Fortunately, most cases of postpartum urinary retention respond well to a brief period of continuous urinary drainage.